All right then, this is Mikey O'Connor and I think we're finally ready to roll. If there's a need to start a recording, if that could get started now, if it's running, that's fine. And I think what I'll do is I'll hand it off to Christina. Do you want to call the roll or shall we just go around the room and then ask folks in the on the bridge to do that? Okay. So for anybody who's actually here for the DSSA, as opposed to being left over from the ALAC Cake Fest, and would like to participate in this meeting, please come to the table, because I can't see you back there, and that way when we do the roll call, you can speak into the mic. So if we could start at that end and just walk your way around the room, key on the microphone, announce who you are. Even if you're not a member of the committee, that's fine. We're just doing a roll call for the transcript. Go ahead.
Luis Espinosa from Costa Rica, and I'm a member of the working group.
Rick Keller from CIRA, member of the DSSA.
Jim Galvin, member of the DSSA from ESSAC.
Jacques Latteau with CIRA, DSSA.
Don Blumenthal, Public Interest Registry, DSSA, ESSAC, probably some other stuff, but I don't remember.
Jörg Schweiger with .de and co-chair to the DSSA for the CCNSO.
Mikey O'Connor, I'm with the ISP constituency and an IXP in Minneapolis, and GNSO co-chair for the DSSA.
I'm Christina Nordstrom from the CCNSO Secretariat.
Bart Bosvinko, Eichenstaff.
Julie Hammer, .au and ESSAC, member of the DSSA.
All right. And Olivier just joined us at high speed. You want to log yourself in there?
Log in. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, ELAC chair and co-chair of the DSSA.
Cool. It's nice to see everybody again. It's been a long time since we've met as the DSSA, and I think we have sort of a pretty short, pretty simple agenda. This is basically the brainstorming session about where do we go from here. And I don't have much to kick that conversation off. Many of you were in the conversation with the Board DNS Risk Management Framework Committee that just preceded this, so we have a little bit of context for this. But basically, to set the stage a little, the DSSA... I'm going to stop myself and see if there's anybody on the bridge who needs to chime in. Sorry, I left you totally... in the lurch. Anybody on the bridge? Okay.
At this time, we have no participants on the bridge.
Thanks very much. That we have to sort of do this in ICANN meeting increments. At the meeting before Beijing, as the board committee really got going, we started to put ourselves on hold, awaiting the results of the board's work. Our original plan was that we were going to convene in Beijing, listen to that work. The work was going to be at a place where then we, between Beijing and this meeting, could figure some things out, but it was clear in Beijing that that work hadn't progressed far enough to do that, so we essentially put ourselves on hold for another increment, and now we're here. And this is sort of given that so much time has passed and given all the events that have taken place, what should we do now? And the co-chairs and the staff leader team met via teleconference about 2 or 3 weeks ago and sort of arrived at several options. One option is the declare victory and wrap ourselves up option. We've got a pretty good report that's already been published. It's been out and back from public comment. Another option is full steam ahead, fire ourselves back up, get back into the work. And those are the sort of two endpoints on a pretty broad continuum. And I guess today's topic is mostly a fairly informal, pretty unstructured brainstorming session about where we feel we are and what we feel like we ought to do next. And I think with that prelude, I'll just keep an eye on the queue and see where people are at. Anybody got any thoughts?
Mikey, so this is Jörg Schweiger for the record. I would like to add another option here, and the third option would be something right in the middle. So basically, the co-chairs feel that the group is getting a bit tired, to put it that way. And it might be an option to refurbish, to go back to our chairs, to get, once again, get support for a certain mission that has to be chartered, and basically calling for a consecutive group or a new group or just a group that has been amended it by other people and new knowledge, and that will be the third option.
Okay, I'm going to do my usual mind mapping thing, and at some point, if we get really excited, we could project it on the screen, but right now it's too complicated to get all that going at the same time, so I've duly noted that, and we'll carry on. I can, but I'm...
While you're talking, I can. I can physically bring the cable to you.
Oh, no, I'm thinking about pushing it up to the Adobe room, which I can do, too.
But you can see it on the screen.
Yeah. No, if we'd had enough time to set the room up, we could have done that.
So why are the two guys going on with their discussion? I'm about to fill the time and try to set clear what we are looking for. I think within the teleconference the co-chairs had, it became clear that we haven't had consensus on how to move on. So basically what we are really looking for now is to solicit your input, to give us your thoughts and probably some direction on how we really should move on.
Thanks, Jörg. So, that's it. Any thoughts?
Could we just do a quick review of what the original mandate was? So that, you know, so what was the full mandate? I came in midstream and review again, you know, so I'm certainly aware of what we've produced. But I'm not sure if there's a gap.
I'm scrambling for the charter. If somebody can get there quicker than me. But to replay the bidding of the formation of the group, this group really came to being after the Brussels meeting in which I think it was Rod Beckstrom got up in front of the CCNSO and other places and sort of used some pretty... You want to do it? You do it.
Let me give you a bit of the real background. It happened in Nairobi. And what happened is that the chairs of the SSA of at large, CCNSO and GNSO, got together and sent a letter to, to the board and to others. They were very concerned about the statements made during the Nairobi meeting by Rod Beckstrom in front of the GAC. As a result, and during the Brussels meeting, the CCNSO and others, or the leadership, agreed to start what is called a real joint working group. And so all the SOs and ACs were invited, not all participated, and some participated, more as individuals like ESSEC. So some people from ESSEC got together. So there was first a drafting team to set up the charter. And at the end, I think by November, December 2010, all the supporting organizations, so that's the, in this case, for this particular case, the NRO, as acting as ASO, the CCNSO and GNSO, subscribed to the charter and participated in the working group. ESSEC sent individual members and at large supported and participated in the working group as well as such. And the, if you look at the charter that was adopted by all the parties, there was should be a, in, I would call it stock-taking of the current state of affairs regarding risk, identify issues as they were, and come up with recommendations how to address them. I think one of the issues, and the working group started, say, I would say the first year, it was very, very active, which resulted at the end of the day in a report that was published. One of the issues that the DSSA and the Ops DSSA has seen is that the environment has changed completely. Say, the original idea is that the community should take responsibility for the risk analysis, etc., because there were these statements by the CEO of ICANN. That dynamic has completely changed. So that's the real underlying theme here. Now, if you look what the working group has produced to date, the question, it covers partly the mandate, but it's a matter of, say, one of the questions for the DSSA and for the Ops DSSA is, given the changed environment, and we've done part of our mandate, is it good to, we started with, I think, a working group of 40 people, and you can see the result where we are right now. Then it's a question, are we not wearing out? We have done what needs to be done in a certain way. We produced, I would say, the working group has produced a very, very useful tool for the community. And the next step is, if you want to use that tool and really apply it, then you run into all kinds of issues. I think the first major issue is the expertise of the current working group. Is that available, or do we have the experts on the current working group to really do the analysis that is required? And the second one is the number of participants in the working group. Say people are still subscribed, but I don't think they have the bandwidth to really take on that job of doing a full analysis. So the question is the DSSA as such satisfied with what they've done, knowing that, say, the original mandate was crafted in a certain time and era, where the environment has completely changed? And then secondly, is what we've done, declare victory, to quote some of the Ops DSSA people, and say, this is it. Or do you want to really go into the next step? But then the question becomes, is this working group, or is the current membership equipped to do it? And shouldn't there be an intermediate step that the SOs and AC should be informed where we are? Because to date, the SO or the OPS or the DSSA has reported back, but has not sought any guidance from the participating SOs and AC should they continue. And so have a dialogue with them, say, is it still necessary what we do? Because if you take the next step, that could take quite some time. So that would mean that, say, from the start, say, from 2010 until now, there has never been a real exchange of views with the SOs and ACs whether we should continue. And because it's a bit like a cocoon. We're moving on in a cocoon, and that could go on for another 3 or 4 years. That means everybody has forgotten why this all started.
Thank you. That was excellent. So, Rick Keller for the transcripts. My view would be, in given the change, given what we've produced, and change in two senses, I guess, you know, how things have evolved positively since Beckstrom made those comments, the work of this group, but the current state of ICANN's risk capability is in question. I think they're at a point of time where they're trying to mature. They've appointed a risk officer. We probably should maybe do a report back to our SOs and so on, and then wrap it up and wait for ICANN, through their risk officer or any other sort of means, figure out what next generation of this kind of committee they'd be looking for. Does that make sense?
Thanks, Rick. I think that's great. I finally dug out the charter, and I thought I'd just throw that on the screen to remind us. Essentially, there's the list of bullet points that we're supposed to deliver, and what I'm doing now is just sort of recording little notes in here because my computer is completely hosed up at the moment. But the course that you're outlining is pretty attractive to me because it gives us a pretty substantive piece of work to do, but a very short piece of work to do, rather than trying to fire up the whole three-ring circus again. I think, you know, acknowledge what's happened, acknowledge the need to rethink where we go from here on both sides is really helpful.
I think the challenge really is risk management is an ongoing effort, and you need process, and we're lacking the process. I mean, we as a working group have developed tools and process suggestions, but they're not ingrained anywhere. I think we'd be wise, not that the DNS risks have diminished any, which is an important part of this function, but I don't think organizationally there's a functioning risk management regime at ICANN right now that we can actually help.
Good stuff. Thanks, Rick. Go ahead.
Luis Espinosa, for the records. I think in the same way, the risk management or the risk analysis management is on the way system to be keep up to date and to be in some operative function between the organization or within the organization, then I think the job done by this working group should be the base or the kickoff of useful for a risk management area or department that can handle this base. The other thing I want to say is maybe this tool or this risk management could be helpful not only for ICANN by itself, helpful for other organizations, other parties in ICANN. Maybe if this tool is well done, can be adopted for some CCs, can be adopted for some GTLDs, like a part of their own risk management. Then in that way, this tool will be helpful for many, many people. I think it's a good thing to try to deliver this document to the community and should be adopted for anyone who wants, really.
I want to come back to you and ask the question, so how would we... I like the idea a lot. I mean, we put an awful lot of work into that document. and those tools. Have you got any ideas of how we could go ahead and do that? Could we carry it over to the CCNSO and say, here you go? Or, Jorg, you got any ideas? Or you know, I mean, if you were to imagine yourself on the receiving end of that, what would be the best way to find out about it? What kind of package would it be in that would be the most useful to you?
A few years ago, there's training from ICANN to LACTLD region given by Delta Risk. They provide some risk management tool in a very practical way. I was telling him it's a few spreadsheets that you must fill out, and at the end of the spreadsheet, you will have a very good base of risk management plan. Then, in the way we can convert this work in some practical document that can be readable and adaptable to any organization, I think could be helpful.
Thanks a lot. That's a great idea. Olivier, I think you're next.
Thank you very much, Mikey. It's Olivier for the transcript. On the subject of the question that you asked with regards to what is next, I think it's, and if we were to close the group or wish to close the group, the charter has actually got this covered. In section 2.3, we have the different deliverables, so the work plan, the reporting, and then 2.4, final report. And it says, upon its submission in each of the SOs and ACs, following its submission, so I gather it would be the submission of a final report, each of the SOs and ACs shall discuss the final report and may adopt the final report according to their own rules and procedures. The chairs of the SOs and ACs shall inform the co-chairs of the DSSA working group accordingly as soon as possible after the submission of the report. So why am I touching on 2.4? Because further down in Section 5, there is closure and working group self-assessment. And that says the DSSA working group shall be dissolved upon receipt of the notification of the chairs of the SOs and ACs as foreseen in Section 2.4 above, or as directed jointly by the participating SOs and ACs. So I do believe that a final report needs to be sent to the SOs and ACs, and then the SOs and ACs will need to decide on whether they wish the group to continue to change, recharter it, or whatever. But it's the different SOs and ACs that need to make that step forward.
Thanks, Olivia. And it seems to me that dovetails pretty well with what Rick was saying. And so maybe what we do is we use the final report drafting exercise as the way to encapsulate the summary of changes in the circumstances and so on, the stuff that you outline, and leave the door open for then some sort of next step reconstitution through that process. Does that make sense? Seems good to me. Jim?
Yeah, so Jim Galvin for the transcript. Can you say that again just one time? Want to see if you can repeat it to make sure I got it.
You know, I'm heavily relying on the transcript of this call. If there's no recording of this, I'm toast. I will give it a try. So what Olivier laid out was that in our charter, there's a process by which we write a final report. We deliver that to our respective ACs and SOs. The ACs and SOs review that, and then the chairs of the ACs and SOs tell us that they've accepted that report, at which point we end, or not, if they decide not to accept it. And so if I add Rick's idea, which is this notion of encapsulating the changes that have happened since we began, and then, you know, the arrival of the board committee, et cetera, we could take our initial report, put that additional material around it, present that to the ACs and SOs for review. We could present them with our suggestion on a way forward, which is, you know, combine the streams, let them react and tell us what to do. That's not exactly the same. I'm testing you.
Yeah, so the piece, what concerns me about that sequence of events is, I like all that, but the piece that's missing is I think it's appropriate for this group to make a recommendation of what they think the next step is, not go back and ask each of the other groups to tell us what to do.
I meant to, if I didn't say that, I meant to, he said through a coffee-induced haze, but absolutely, okay. I think we need to come up with some ideas that we put in that final report.
Okay, so to play back just a little bit, sort of the middle of what you said there, we take the initial report, which we've done, you know, finalize it, and we put a cover letter on it that says, you know, this is where we got to, this was the original scope, this is what has happened since we've gotten to this point, and then we have to state what our advice is. And what we think the next steps are. Okay. I haven't yet spoken on my bias about the next steps. I've been sort of listening to everything else going on. When we're ready, I'll speak my bias.
Well, and it may be that we don't talk a lot about that today. I think, you know, clearly if we were to do it that way, then we would kind of go back into full DSSA mode for a while, working through those recommendations. You know, I don't know that we can just arrive there today. Maybe we can, but you know, I like the three chunks that you lay out in the cover and the cover letter approach. That aligns really well with where we've been going.
So for this is Bart for the transcript. Just to recap, so I understand it as well, is that we need to finalize the report. That's one step. Secondly, we need to work on the cover letter. The cover letter contains, in fact, three elements. One is referring back to the charter to lay out the process. Secondly, it's, say, what has happened in between, and that builds up into recommendations. And these recommendations probably at the level of, say, it's up to you now, this is what we've done, and we advise you to get this implemented one way or the other, or made available.
I'm so jet-lagged and brain-dead that I think there's plenty of discussion to have about the recommendations. In sort of a rump session at the end after the board committee, Julie and Don, maybe, I can't remember. Anyway, a gaggle of us stood around and sort of came up with this notion that the board committee kind of feels like they're at the end of their work, or at least very close to it. If I'm to channel Jim Galvin, and I think I tend to agree, if we say that we're sort of at the end of our work, then we map out some possibilities as to how both groups feed into some process that follows. And we could even sketch out some ideas about what that process could be. So there, I think there's some substantive work that could go into formulating that cover letter. In terms of your idea about finalizing the report, I don't have a lot of appetite on hammering on that nail much more. You know, we hammered on that pretty hard. I think it's in pretty good shape. If we unbutton that report and start working on it again, I don't think there's any energy in the group to do much there. So I think more in terms of putting, sort of packaging that report up as is, rather than trying to revise it much.
That's what I meant with finalizing.
Yeah, okay. Julie, and then over to you.
Mikey, just based on the discussion that we had with the board committee too, something we might want to think about is whether this group as a group wishes to provide feedback to the board risk committee on the report on not our report, but the report that's been done for them by Westlake, and whether we want to provide comment back to our constituencies for the SOs and ACs to provide board. But we know that the Board Risk Committee are keen to have our feedback.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think there's at least two questions in there. One is the time frame. It depends a lot on what they do in terms of a public comment. And then the other is whether, I think that's whether we want to try and hammer out a joint statement. And that might be a very useful exercise because even though I'm pretty shattered today, you have to understand that I'm grieving for all the work that we did that got shattered by this process. And so I'm not thinking very clearly and don't have much motivation right now. But as I recover from that grieving, this is just a personal statement, so that if I'm weird today, just take it easy on me. But I think it would be good for us as a group to try and do that because we're very deep into this and bring a lot of expertise to it and I think could provide really good, nuanced feedback to that process and would be hopefully very helpful to them. So I think that's a good thing to consider. There, and then Olivier, and then Jorg, or maybe the other way around, depending on how you guys are feeling. Go ahead.
Yes, Luis Espinosa from the records. Thinking about what could be helpful for the other organizations to adopt from this risk management plan, I think if we can extract from the document the matrix of risk, where you have the threats and the mitigations, that matrix, it could be a very helpful thing because most of those threats is very common in this community. Anybody can adopt that easily. And if it is easy read, could be helpful. And the other thing I can say we could be helpful is all the process that this working group has followed to achieve this risk management, like a log of every task it takes, could be helpful to provide that kind of guidance in the way that could be very useful to bring some very practical products from this risk management plan.
Yeah, that's sort of where I'm headed, is that there may be one more deliverable besides this encapsulating of the report, giving feedback on the Westlake stuff, is packaging the material that we built in a more practical, accessible way to distribute. Not a lot of work, but some work, just to make that, because there is a pretty big body of useful stuff in there, and it would be a shame to lose the value of that just because we funked out right at the end and sort of said, oh, this is too hard. So, I would accept that as another possible thing that we ought to put in the mix of stuff we do as we wind down. It's a good, really good idea. Which of you guys is going first?
I just wanted to comment on the idea of writing a formal statement from the DSSA, what we think about the work that has been done within the DNSRMF. And I kind of oppose it because some of us have been asked personally to deliver some facts and some thoughts, what we think. I would gladly do that. But then the DNSRMF, they had been seeking in a formal way input, and this input could have been given at this very meeting. And I wonder if each and every constituency that is represented in the DSSA could really agree on a feedback, and then we together could agree on a feedback and that this wouldn't be a feedback where, once again, substance is missing because we just come up with something that is, this is not harming anybody, and which is the lowest the lowest baseline we can agree on, right? So.
Thank you very much, Mikey. It's Olivia for the transcript. And I think we've reached the point at this time of the week. I'll just give you an insight into my own thinking. At the beginning of the week, there are a lot of things that I want to do. At the end of the week, there are a lot of things that I have to do. And we are in the position in the DSSA where, personally, I would want to do what is being suggested here, which is for this working group here to review the Westlake report, etc., and the board DNS risk management framework. However, looking back at the charter that what this group has been chartered for, it has to do, it doesn't can't do things that it wants to do. It has to follow the charter, and it doesn't say anywhere on the charter that it has to review the DNS board risk management framework. In fact, it says the opposite. 2.1 and 2.2 give us the scope of activities and the objectives and goals. I would therefore reluctantly, but having to abide by the charter, say that we'd have to report back to our SOs and ACs. And if they decide to charter us to do something, think, before you close down, give us your point of view on the board DNS-RMF, then fair enough. But I don't think that we can do that ourselves.
I hate it when people read the charter and pay attention to that stuff. Go ahead, Bart.
In addition, if you look at, say, the underlying principles in the way it's drafted, the DSSA can't go out by its own to respond to a public comment. It has to go through the SOs and ACs, and it hasn't been requested by the SOs and ACs to look at the board risk framework management. So that's reinforcing, in fact, Olivier's argument.
So that's a pretty strong trio of comments that sort of says, well, that's a great idea, but maybe not a kind of a non-starter. Are you okay with that, Julie?
Yeah. No, I was just reminding what was asked of us. So I do agree that based on that comment, it's probably not appropriate. But we might just get that message back to Bill, that we have to, Bill Graham, that we've discussed it, and that the DSSA feels it's not appropriate as an entity for it to comment.
Yeah, I think that's right. Because, you know, we're a project. And suddenly we're starting to behave like a function. And that's probably not a good idea. Good discussion, though. It's good that somebody's less brain dead than me. Way to go, Olivier. Any other thoughts? I mean, I'm sort of counting on the recording. You know, I'm going to recover and then listen to the recording and see what comes of it. But Jim, go ahead.
This is Jim Galvin for the transcript. I think what concerns me, it almost sounds like you're moving to wrap up here, and I kind of want to take a step back and say, I think we need to examine while we're sitting here exactly what our next steps are and what we're doing. We've been thinking about what our next steps are going to be for quite some time, and we left ourselves with a specific question at our last meeting before Beijing, and I guess that was Toronto, wasn't it, where we expressly decided we would wait to see what the output of the RMF was, and then we would decide what we were going to do next. I think that we need to make that decision. I'd like to put that discussion here. We've put it on the mailing list, too, and nothing has happened, which I think speaks to the apparent apathy in this group. And so I think what I'd like to do is put a specific, concrete proposal on the table and see what happens. We've already talked about the process that we could use, and so the only thing that's left is what would be the recommendations in the letter that we would put around the document. We didn't actually assert it expressly, but I will agree with you, Mikey, that I think we take our document as is and call it final. We might do an editorial pass over it or something or whatever kind of cleanup, but, you know, you just take it as is and declare it done. I think that what we propose, and we hand back this final report, what we propose back to the chartering organizations is that, yes, we have not completed our charter. We believe that two things are possible. One is that it would be reasonable to simply stop at this point and not go further and not complete the rest of the charter, which would be to execute on the framework that we have developed, the risk management process, and do that. Another possibility would be to execute on it, but rather than making that choice explicitly, we would like each of the chartering organizations to take a step back and re-examine whether that's a useful thing to do. And if they're going to do that, it should not be in this group as it's constituted now. This group would like to end with this report as is and push back and say, if you want to do the execution, then you need to reconstitute another group that does it. I think that's the only possible outcome from this. I don't think this group can stick around and even offer to do the execution of that framework. And that's evidenced by the apparent apathy that we've now had for at least 6 months and certainly leading up to the decision that we made in Toronto. So I think that's the only possible thing. And for the couple of people here that might be very interested in wanting to move forward, I would offer that they should push to get that charter of the next working group put together and lead that group and go forward with the work there. So to summarize and bring it down to something concrete, I think we declare that we're done. We're not going to finish our existing charter, and that the groups re-examine whether or not finishing our charter is the right thing, and if they want to do it, they do it with a different group. So we're done. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty close to the same view. You know, I think the session that we had right at the end is that we're done. The board group is essentially done. Something needs to carry on. There are members of our group that would probably want to help move that forward, but that this group, as constituted, is out of gas.
Hi, this is Christina. I just wanted to remind you to say your names before you speak so that the Adobe people know and for the transcript.
Thank you. And I'm the worst violator, I bet. This is Mikey O'Connor for the transcript. Sorry about that. Was there somebody else that wanted to get... Bart, go ahead.
Just to say, follow up on what Jim said, is that it allows also individual SOs and ACs to carry on if they want to. Because this is, say, as it was created, this is a very, very heavy vehicle to do stuff, having all the SOs and ACs doing it and working together.
I think it's Olivia and then York. Oh, or York can go first and Olivia can arm wrestle, or we could have cake. York first.
So, York Schweiger for the transcript. I fully agree what Jim's been saying, and I want to underline that proceeding in this way would give us the opportunity to, in a certain way, make sure that we did not produce shelfware and that the results we've been producing are going somewhere. For sure, they have to be acknowledged, they have to be accepted by the SOs and ACs, but if we really produce something with a certain quality, then no doubt they... something out of that will be very well received and will be used within these different constituencies.
Olivia?
Thank you very much, Mikey. It's Olivia for the transcript. So the next steps that I would suggest based on Jim's request. Number one, identify material for final report. Number two, polish material into final report, to make sure it's all linked up together. It's got an intro, date, whatever, all the hoo-ha and the lights and stuff and whistles around it. Number three, send report to respective SOs and ACs with a cover letter summarizing the assets that they have at hand so they don't just file it in the cylindrical filing cabinet or the virtual one that is bottomless. Number four, include in the cover letter, now this is the optional one, and
think we might wish to decide at that point if we want to go into yes or no. Include in the cover letter that there is the belief that this working group has the in-house knowledge to provide a brief comment, brief being the key word in that sentence, on the Board DNS Risk Management Framework Consultant Report, and would be ready to provide its point of view if asked to do so. And number five, include in the cover letter that outside this suggestion, if the charter was to be completed, the work group would need a new call for members. If the charter was to be completed, so in other words, if SOs and ACs would want the group to continue working, the work group would need a new call for members and an updated charter to be examined.
How on earth can you be that effective this late in the meeting?
Cake, Olivia speaking.
Thank you. Mikey speaking bewilderedly. Jim, go ahead. Am I missing anybody? Jim, go ahead, and then if there's anybody else in the queue.
Jim Galvin for the transcript. Your step four about offering to respond to the risk management framework. What problem are we solving by seeking work? That's a serious question. I mean, we all laughed off mic, but
yes. Olivier, you want to take a shot at that?
Thank you very much, Mikey, and thank you for this. It's Olivier speaking. Thank you for this, Jim. I think that comes in the spirit of volunteering and being a bit of a masochist.
which is fair. So, Jim, again, what I offer is, I mean, there'll be a public comment period. Is there the specific, to cast the question into something more specific, what can this group, why is having this group respond, what problem is that solving? Since the public comment period certainly allows for each of us to comment individually as well as our respective organizations to comment. So, what is the value in having us respond?
Thank you, Jim. Olivia speaking. Point taken.
This is Mikey again. And I guess the other point is that, formulating that response is going to be a boatload of work. I mean, it's going to be really hard to come up with consensus views on that, I think. So,
apathy notwithstanding.
Apathy notwithstanding. It's going to be... Any other thoughts? I'm sort of feeling like we've got a pretty good corpus of a direction to go forward. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mikey. Olivia speaking. So in the interest of moving forward, are we scrapping four?
Yeah, I'm getting nods around the table on that. But perfect. If you could push that little list thing along to the list, that would be great. Otherwise, I can pick it off the transcript if you're overwhelmed, but I'm seeing you copying and pasting. That's good. Jim, go ahead.
So, Jim, again, just to get into the transcript and document what is hopefully the obvious, but just so that we're all on the same table here. So the action here is, I feel like we've come to some consensus here, but clearly we don't represent all the DSSA, and we haven't for some time. So in fairness, it has to go out to the list, and we somehow have to declare consensus on these action points. And our chairs will do that, presumably in relatively short order. I'm guessing we don't have to put an action point on that, an action time frame on that. When the ops team meets again, we can figure out what that is. But I'm guessing that we're looking at issuing a final report with cover letter in a relatively small number of weeks on up to our respective organizations, and then we wait for a decision from them for an appropriate amount of time. So it's entirely probable that this group could be dissolved in whatever formal action that takes or reconstituted in time for Buenos Aires. So I'm seeing nodding heads just for the transcript. But okay, just want to state all that. Thank you.
Nicely done. Thank you. Looking around the room for any last words. No last words. Thanks, gang. This was a great... more words. Go ahead.
thank you, Mikey. Olivia speaking. It's been fun. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, this is a great game. Thank you very much.
Just as a final word, being a very latecomer to this group, but still having had quite a bit of observation. Can I acknowledge the unbelievable amount of work that Mikey did in this forum? Also the co-chairs that I observed, but in particular Mikey.
So, Jim, for the transcript, and we should absolutely, you know, include reference to that in our cover letter about the work and where we are as we send that up. Just so, thank you.
Thanks, gang. That didn't help my tears, so I think at that point I'll end. Thanks. We're adjourned.